Welcome to Edgemont Bible Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, where our mission is to glorify God by guiding people into a discipleship relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen in to today's message by our pastor, Douglas A. White.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're with us today. Welcome to the Edgemont Bible Church. It's our Communion Sunday. We want to share good things with one another. Thank you that you have been gracious to get together in small groups on internet, conference calls, Zoom meetings, all those good things. Thank you for taking advantage of the technology that's available for us today so that we can actually get accomplished still having fellowship. You know, the body of Christ is said to be the body of Christ because it loves one another. And that's difficult to do if you can't see each other, you can't be around each other. But thank you that you're finding ways to get that done. That's an exciting thing to me. We need socialization, don't we? Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to share with you something that's really a good passage. This is taking place after David brings the Ark of the Covenant. They finally get it back into Jerusalem, and he is so excited. He's been singing. They appointed Asaph to be the lead singer in this thing, and it says this, "And on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. It said, 'Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for an everlasting statute and an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance, when you were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. And yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. Come before him, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice in all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. All right. Well, praise his name. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer just now. Father, we are indeed so grateful to be gathered like this. Thank you, Father, that in the many homes across this whole land and really even out of this country, people are gathered together right now with people they love or just with by themselves, knowing full well they'll never be alone, for you are with them. You're that good shepherd. You're the constant presence. You're the Lord who heals. You're the Lord who keeps us from the pestilence that walks in darkness. Thank you, Father, that's who you are. And thank you that you've let us have this time. Thank you for the technology that makes it possible. Thank you for the people who know how to use it. Thank you for all the people who are taking advantage of it this day. Lord, teach us. Show us who you are. Show us your great salvation, just as you promised you would do in Psalm 91. We abide in you, Father. We have no hope outside of this. We have no help outside of you. We know not to trust in men or chariots or any other such thing. We trust in you. And we know that you shall bring us through all of this. You're an awesome God, and we love you for who you are. Now we ask in the name of Jesus that you would open our hearts and give us understanding in all the Word of God, that you would bring healing. Father, we are just sickened to know how many people are sick from this, to know how many people are reaching the point of death. We are hurt for all those families, Father, who have experienced that death and really can't do anything to memorialize their family for it. Father, thank you for the people who are making decisions for us. We trust that they genuinely are looking for our best interest. So we ask in the name of Jesus, grant to them the wisdom they need to make right decisions. Now, thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in us just now. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Would you turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is a communion Sunday. And as a communion Sunday, I ask Alan Lynn if I have the opportunity to speak about the meaning of the table before we participate in that table, if you would. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to be looking at verses 23 and following. There are several things we could be looking at prior to this, because this is a discussion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is a discussion that has really stirred Paul up. The Corinthians have been doing a lot of things inappropriately. They had messed up their marriages. They had messed up their morality. They had messed up the church's unity by having all the divisions in it. They had done a number of things. Well, he came down here and he was appalled at the things they were doing at the Lord's table. Instead of having a shared communion, they were having this divided communion where all the richy people got together and they had a big meal out of it, and the poor were without because they brought the elements to it they could. They may have brought the bread and hoping that somebody else brought the juice so they could share in that together. That's what communion is about sharing. And so they had violated that. And he was very concerned because this was a special time that was supposed to be with him. Now, look, I know we can't be gathered together, and I know that this is not the same kind of communion that we would enjoy if we were all here. But we can still enjoy the communion with the Lord. And to know that we're all doing it at the same time allows us the opportunity to bring our minds to the unity of the body of Christ that's found worldwide. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 11, 23, and let's see what Paul has to say. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night at which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Now, we're only going to go that far in our first part of this study here. I want you to notice something that he makes a statement about. The meaning of the Lord's table, it was given by the Lord to be practiced by his chosen to remember him. It is a memorial service. It is a remembrance, like the Passover. Now listen, let's put this together, okay? Let's get the big picture. I love to see the big picture, don't you? Our whole lives are about being separated from God and how God is reconciling us to himself. That goes all the way back to the garden. We were in sweet fellowship with God. That fellowship was broken by distrust, and we were exiled, if you would, pushed out of the garden. The garden was our place. That was the place God intended for us to have fellowship with him. He intended us, but Instead, because of our distrust, we were pushed out. Would there ever be a redemption? Would there ever be a time when that could be restored again? Well, in order for God to illustrate that, remember how we talked over the last few weeks that the Old Testament is given for us as an illustration, an example to show us how things are to be done. So he showed us how they're to be done as he chose Abraham. And with choosing Abraham, he makes a promise to Abraham and all his family of a restoration. And as that family goes through a time where they are confused about what that restoration is, and honestly, you can see why sometimes, because God in his progressive revelation does not give the whole story at one time. He requires us to believe him, whether we know the whole story or not. And he keeps leaving droplets of information, sometimes huge globs of information, that allow us to see what's he up to, what's he going to do. Well, that final revelation's in Jesus Christ, but I digress. Let me come back. They got into captivity in Egypt. And if, honestly, the rest of the story is about the delivery of people from captivity. If you look at the big picture, it is the delivery of people from the exodus of the garden. It was to bring us all back. What has he got this thing finally done? A new heavens and a new earth for people to live on. That's the restoration that's coming. It's Eden restored. So here, as our Lord is laying this down, he's saying, I'm doing this as a memorial. I want you to remember this. And as you do it, it's me I want you to remember. So first of all, it was given by the Lord to be practiced by his chosen to remember him. Now, let me make sure I'm getting this clear. This is not something the Edgemont Bible Church has decided to do. This is not something the Reformers decided to do. This is not something the Middle Ages decided to do. This is not something that the church, before it became a state church, tried to do. This was instituted by the Lord himself. That puts all kinds of importance on this, kids. That means that this is something Jesus wanted us to do, not something that Paul created, not something that Peter or James or John or any of the rest of them created. They were honoring what he said to do. So it's given by the Lord. So that's why we don't miss it. This is a gift from God. This is what he told us to do to remember him. Don't miss it. Be in on it, okay? But when we're remembering, what are we supposed to remember? Is this like one of my childhood memories where I look back and say, oh, I do remember that. When my brother starts talking about something and I say, oh, yeah, that was fun. And I go through and rehearse some of the things that were done there, and then it stops. I don't have that memory anymore. I go back to some what I was doing before. This one's supposed to be as often as we do it in a memorial. I don't know. We couldn't do it every day. I don't know what it takes for us to remember, but here's what I know we're supposed to remember. We're supposed to remember who he is. He's the God-man living perfectly in our place. He's all about purity. He's all about office. He's all about mission. And if you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you're remembering that the Lord Jesus Christ was living for us. We focus a lot on his death for us. We focus on a lot on the fact that his death paid for our sins. It did. But in that would just clear my account. If Jesus is not righteous himself, then he can't give me his righteousness. So what I'm supposed to remember is that when Jesus was living in those first 30 years, he's living obediently. When he's got his disciples with him, he's living obediently. He is living faithfully. He is doing what the Father said to do. His fellowship and communion is always with the Father. That is in our behalf. That's to take up for all that we didn't do obediently and faithfully. So when you're remembering Jesus, remember him as the one who lived for you, as much as the one who died for you, as much as the one who is alive for you. It's the whole life of Jesus that we're remembering. So I hope as we participate this morning, you'll take that in consideration. It's his whole life. I'm not just looking at his death. I'm not just looking at his resurrection. I'm looking at why his death was so good. It's because he was fully pleasing to God. We're supposed to look, and I noticed when he said this, he said in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night of which he was betrayed, took bread." Isn't that interesting? Why bring that up? There's a lot of things that happened on that night, but it's the same night of which he was betrayed. Here's where Paul is going with that. Do you understand, Corinthians, that your abuse, your misuse of the table of the Lord is like a betrayal? It is betraying who Jesus is. When you let only those in your clique be a part of that, you're betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. You're denying all the other brothers and sisters of Christ to be a part of what you're doing. That's like a betrayal. So he brings that up. We're to remember the events of that night where he was betrayed, where he was tried, and we're supposed to ask ourselves the question, am I living faithfully to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have I betrayed anything he's about? Have I given up on any of the things that is important about the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I being a faithful child of God? The third thing, we're to remember his suffering. Yes, we're to remember the physical part. That's been portrayed many, many times, much better than I can do right here. The physical part. Do we think about the mental part too? And I just want to encourage us, let's think about the mental part. Mentally, he's about to go through a trial and is going through a trial that's difficult to understand. What has he done that permits these people he does not know to spit on him, beat him? What is going on with that? And where are the people who could be rescuing him? Jesus is going through that struggle, but that's the biggest one of all, is that mental, spiritual struggle he's going to have with having to be separated from his Father. The one that he was so close to, the one that he had intimacy with, wanted union with, and the Father's going to have to turn his back on his Son as he places the iniquity of the world on his Son, and he's got to go through that. You can hear him cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is a spiritual struggle, kids. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that during this whole coronavirus thing, that somehow the Lord has forsaken us? The Lord's not remembered us, that this thing just keeps going on. You ever been through any other trial in which you said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If so, you'll understand just that little bit of what it is for this one who was a total, faithful, true witness, is going through with his Father having to turn his back on him because he is bearing our sins. We're to remember that. But we're not to leave it there. We're to remember his resurrection. And his resurrection is all about a new creation, kids. Isn't it interesting that he comes to life on the first day of the week? On that first day of the week, he is starting the whole new creation. That's what this thing is about, kids. This is our Exodus. This is the Passover lamb that's for us. We are journeying on our way to that promised land, just like Israel journeyed on the way from Egypt into that promised land. We're on our way to a home that we're going to get to have forever. And he has promised us that like Moses, like Joshua, like Caleb, there are those who believe him, who are filled with the Spirit, who know now what it is to be in that promised life, without having to be in that promised land yet. Or as he puts it, we have the Spirit as the down payment for what it's like to live in the promised land. That's why, brothers and sisters, it's so important as we live our way through this shutdown that we live it as people who are filled with the Spirit, people who understand that this is only a trial, this is only a test, this is only a temporary thing. It does not affect where you're going to be forever. It does not affect your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, so don't let it. Don't let it be your doubtfulness and your misery or your discomfort or anything else you have it. Don't let that change you. Get grateful. Get full of the Holy Spirit and walk that way. As you're remembering him, you're remembering that he's sovereign. This whole thing is going to come to a close. And as it comes to a close, Jesus Christ is Lord. That's where you're headed. May I say, we're not just waiting for Him to be Lord. We've already crowned Him Lord. When you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you said you are Lord. You are the promised one. So as we are remembering Him in this whole memorial service, that covers that whole memorial service, that's what we're supposed to be remembering. And then, let her be of our outline. What we're looking at is sharing in the Lord's body. Listen to what He said here. And when He had given thanks, isn't that important? Listen, that is the life of Jesus. And Jesus is always saying thank you to the Father. He's always there. So if you would, I just had a wonderful thought the other day. Do you remember how Jesus, or how the Father had said that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and all that's entailed with that, He said they'll be healed. As I thought about that, I understood that's what Jesus was praying. When Jesus taught us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven, that's what Jesus is praying. When I read the Psalms, I understand that's what Jesus is praying. He's praying for the restoration to come. He's asking the Father, restore the kingdom. Bring it all back together. Restore the kingdom of heaven with the kingdom of earth. Bring them all back together again in the kingdom of God. That is His prayer. He's praying for the citizens who are going to be in it. That is His prayer, and He's doing that in His body. Now, think of this with me just for a moment. Sharing in the Lord's body. He is sharing, He's picked up bread. That's food from the earth, kids. That's food from the earth. And He's breaking it. All of that flour that is coming from the wheat that's got to go through the threshing, but it's getting all of its nourishment. It's getting everything from the entire first order of things. Be fruitful and multiply. All that soil that's around it is providing the nutrients for that wheat to grow up, the sunlight participating in it, the water participating in it, the air participating in it, the temperatures all participating in it. And when it grows up to a full order, it's beat out of there and it comes to grain, and you grind the grain up and you make from it the flour that's going to make the bread. Jesus is recalling the whole order of the first creation. That's the way things were. That's the way things had become. So if you would consider this with me, our bodies are taken from the earth and will return to the earth in the old order. Just the same way the bread is taken from there. Listen, when Jesus Christ is here, He's coming from the same elements that made people in the first order. He is coming in the image of Adam. But He is the second Adam. He is the Adam of the new creation. So when He is taking that bread, He's taking what represents the old order, the first creation. He's breaking that up, handing it to Him. Here's the first order, guys. Every time you take this, remember me and remember what I'm about. I am about the end of the first order. I'm about the end of creation. I am the second Adam. And I am showing you by taking this that I am the end of it. I'm the end of all righteousness that comes from any kind of works, any kind of thing like that. I am your righteousness. Take this. You need this. Let this become a part of who you are, receiving the righteousness of me. As I die on that cross and as I'm raised again from the dead, I'll die for your sins. I'll exchange your sins for my righteousness. You will have my righteousness. We'll come to that in just a moment. But by taking bread, we are confessing He is a man of the first world that has redeemed it. Every time we take that bread together, we're saying, this is a man of the first order. This is a man who was born under the law. He was born in Adam's image. He was born like the rest of us. And as He's bearing that, only He could rid us of the first order. Only He could take away sin. Only He could be the one who could restore us and give us righteousness. So when we're doing that, we're remembering this. The order of the old world was life comes from death. Everything you do in this life Somebody died for it. You know, if you're going to eat food, the plant has to die for it. That plant has to give up its life in order for you to eat. The whole sacrificial system was based on something dying so that something else could live. The whole way the earth works is something's dying so something else can live. That's the curse of this day. When Jesus Christ dies on the cross, he's ending death. It's the death of death in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's taking it away. And what you're supposed to do is you take that bread in your mouth, you're supposed to remember, yes, Jesus Christ has killed death. Yes, the whole order is coming to an end. I will live forever. As I take this in my mouth, I know I'm saying goodbye, old world. Hello, new world. I'm remembering that Jesus Christ is that. His death makes him a participant in the old order and the finisher of it. Yes, he's going to do just exactly what's supposed to happen. He is dying as a sacrifice. Out of his death comes life. That's what Jesus Christ is doing, and that's what you're remembering when you participate with his body. That is you sharing in the life of Christ. Okay. Letter C. His death as an innocent, perfect man puts an end to sin and death through sacrifice. Since that is the Old Testament system, since that's the old order system, a sacrifice where a death brings back life, brings about life. Jesus is the life giver. He's the final death, and he's the life giver. Listen here. The bread without yeast will still decay and is easily broken. That is the sign of his human mortality. When he says, this is my body, which is broken for you, he's showing you his human mortality. He's showing that he's one of us. He's not an imagination. He's not a spiritual figure. So he is one of us. And that bread that has yeast in it, that does not have yeast in it, we look at it that and say, that's the same way Jesus' sinless life was. But it's fragile. It can be broken. It can have disease. Leave it out for just a little while, and mold will start forming on already. That's how we know it's living stuff. It's living stuff that had to be broken or had to be ground up and redone. And now it can have decay. Surprise, so can you. This whole virus thing is to remind us, or one of the many things it does, it reminds us of our mortality. It reminds us of our fragility. What does it take to get it? Something you can't even see that's in the air. Why do they want us to wear masks? So that less of that gets out in the air and less of it's there to take in. Why? Because we're fragile. Because a little invisible thing can take us down so quickly. Through him sharing his life, he shared our life and mortality. He became one of us. And number five in my outline, we remember our own fragility when we take the bread and remember that the end of the old order is here. Or as John would put it, the world and its trimmings is passing away. It's all coming to an end. Do you understand that ultimately, whether this is the generator for it, I have no idea. But I know this. Ultimately, this old order is coming to an end. This old order is going to face its own end in the Lord Jesus Christ coming back again. There will be a judgment on this earth that's going to encompass the whole earth, much like is illustrated by this virus. But it's going to encompass the whole world with many signs and many wonders being done in it until it all comes to a close. And at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ comes a new heavens and a new earth, a new dwelling, a place for us to be with him together. Well, let's go on to the blood. By taking the bread, we're remembering our own death through him to the old world. Each time you take it, that you're remembering, I'm dead to the old world. I'm dead to the old order. I don't have to deal with that old order anymore. I'm done with it. All right, let me go to sharing the cup of his blood. Verse 25, he says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So we've eaten the bread. We've taken the bread. We've said goodbye, old world. We're knowing that we're dead to it. That represents our fragility. It represents our mortality. And we're going to die. Will we live again? Will we live again? Here's what he said. This is the sharing of his life, since the life of his flesh was in the blood. Now, one of the things that the disciples had a difficult time with, and I don't have any problem understanding the difficulty they had. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Wow. That's a tough thing to understand. Matter of fact, it was so tough that a group of his disciples just left. They said, we're done. We don't understand what he's talking about. He's above our head. We're not getting it. It is sharing in his life. That's what he's calling us to do. Every time we take that cup, we're remembering a shared life. That Jesus didn't just come and do a wonderful thing so that we could now do wonderful things. He came to give his life in our place, to give us his life in his place. What a wonderful exchange life this is. So what you're supposed to do when you take that cup each time is to remember, this is a picture that I have a shared life with Christ. It's not just me trying to be a better person. Kids, that's old order. That's not the new order. That's the old order of things. That's the way people lived before. If I just do so many ethical things, God is obligated to take care of me because I did what he said to do. That was never possible. That was the thinking of the old order people. That was the fig leaf aprons that we put on ourselves. It never covered us and couldn't. That's why God covered us and had to cover us. This is the essence of the exchange life. Our sin placed on him to die for it. This is what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 teaches us in verse 21, I think it is. That he made him who knew no sin, so there's his righteous life lived for us, so he is fully a righteous man. There is really no reason for him to die. The wages of sin is death, and he's without sin. But he's going to die. Why is that? Because all of our sin is placed on him. I don't care what sin you had done and what your past looks like. I know this. The Father is placing your entire life's worth of rebellion against him, distrust of him, hurt that you've done to all kinds of people, or hurt that's been done to you. He's taken all of that and he's placed it on the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is removed from you, friend. If you're one of those that's sitting there feeling guilty still, stop. As you take that cup today, remember this, that he has paid for you in full, tetelestai. It is finished. Let it be finished. And then when Jesus Christ dies, he is dying with your sin on him. So that means your sin is dead with him. That's the bread. But by his resurrection, the animation that was in his body, the life of his flesh that was in his body, is now what you're participating with, and you got the righteousness of God, all that had been his, is given now to you. That's the exchange life. That's the shared life, brothers and sisters. By his blood, he has brought all human beings under one banner, himself. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, we read that the Jew who had all the promises of God, who had the covenants of God, and even though he was a sinner in it, we had nothing. We had no promise. There was no reason why we should ever have life at all, except that he promised in Abraham that we would. How could he do that when he's made it clear that his chosen people are Israel and the Gentiles are not? What does he do? In the Lord Jesus Christ, he ends the old covenant, inspires a new covenant, and invites the Gentiles to participate with it. He, by his blood, has made us one people. Ephesians chapter 2. By his blood, he's forgiven our trespasses against God. That's Ephesians 1. That's Colossians 1. We have our redemption because of that blood. We have our new life because of that. By his blood, he's reconciled all things to himself on earth and in heaven. You hear that? That is, he took care of the rebellion the sons of God had in heaven that made all of that out of order. And he has paid for the rebellion on earth that was all had things out of order. And he's made the two one again. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. By his blood, he has reconciled all those things. He's paid for what was going on in heaven. He paid for what was going on earth. He has made us all one again. His blood is the substance and foundation of the new covenant. It is his life. That new covenant promised us that, and I'm not going to say it promised Gentiles. I'm going to say simply it promised Israel and Judah that he would take the heart that was in them of stone, take that out and put a new living heart in them, and then put his spirit in them to animate all that. That's what Jesus' blood has done for us. So as you take that cup, remember those things, would you? That he has now made me one with all peoples in this world. He's broken down the barrier between us. That he has redeemed us. He's paid for all our sins. He's taken it all away. It is finished. You're remembering that it's the very foundation of the new covenant. That's how you're going to have life. And by taking the cup, you're acknowledging your citizenship in the new world coming, eternal life now and then. As soon as you take that cup, you're saying, I know I am a citizen of heaven. I'm under a covenant with Almighty God. Jesus Christ is the whole part of that covenant. He's everything that made that covenant happen. I'm in it with him. I'm in a shared life. So as you participate, please remember that's what you're doing. You're taking that cup in and you're saying, this is my new life. Now look at verse 26 with me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now look at this. By participating in the bread and the cup, we are acknowledging the meaning of his death and resurrection until he comes again. When we know this, that Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. We can see that pretty easily. But he's coming again. And it's in that coming again, brothers and sisters, we have to be able to recognize he's coming to judge the earth. He's coming to start a new heavens and a new earth. You are citizens of that. When you participate in that you're remembering his death, his resurrection until he comes. You're acknowledging that he's coming again. Now, letter E in my outline. Therefore, it is a serious thing to share in this practice as it is a serious thing to share in his life. Look, he's telling us here, listen to this, verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Do you see why he used betrayal in the beginning? Because it was Judas that was now guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord in that night of betrayal. If we eat in an unworthy manner, he says, so are we. Now, remember, Judas was walking with him. Judas was one of the disciples that walked with him. We've been walking with him. We cannot take this in an unworthy manner. But it goes on to say, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now he said, you guys are paying dearly for the unworthy manner which you're dealing with the Lord. Because of that, some of you have been are weak and sick, and some have even died. This is a great warning he's given to them. So we've got to take this thing seriously. The same way we have to take the shared life is serious with the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to do that every breathing minute of the day. Or we're walking in an unworthy manner. He said this, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. You say, well, I thought that when I trusted Jesus Christ, that all judgment was gone from me. The judgment of condemnation is gone for you. That is absolutely true. He has taken away. There's therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Yes. Is there a judgment? Yes. You can read in Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus is walking among the churches and he's making a judgment. There is a great judgment that's coming for us at the judgment seat of Christ. We can do wrong things and we can do things in an unworthy manner, and there is a judgment that comes. But if we judge ourselves each day and say, whoa, I need to confess that that was just a wrong attitude. I did something that was extremely wrong. Dear Father, I know what I did was wrong. I know it was just selfishness on my part. And confess that thing, be rid of it. That's what we're supposed to do before we go to that table. Let's examine ourselves. And finally, one needs to examine himself before he takes, while he takes, and after he has taken. Now, let's participate. We have an idea of what this table is about. If you've got your elements there at home with you there, if you take just a few moments, let's close in prayer. And we're going to give thanks for those elements that we're about to participate in. And I just want to encourage you, remember him. Remember the things that we've talked about this morning. These are important to us. And we don't want to take that in an unworthy manner. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bow before you because you are the one true, awesome, holy God. We walk in fear of you. Not just simply respect, but we know this. There is no snowing you. You know our every part. You know what we're going to say before we say it. You know what's on our heart and what it's mind. You know what we are entertaining. I know we're not... All thoughts did not come for us. I know that we're open to all kinds of thoughts being transferred to us. I recognize that. But I know I don't have to own all those thoughts. And I know it's great sin for me to own a sinful thought. And I know I can't snow you. So we walk in that understanding today, Father, that there are no secret things with you. You know us inside out. Now we ask that you would take our hearts, our lives, and help us examine them thoroughly and completely. Help us understand that their resolution is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we remember by this table. Help us to be sensible people who understand what it is you have said. And we're going to thank you for that. Thank you for the bread. Thank you for the cup. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Lynn, could you play a couple of songs for us as we go through the, we'll go through the bread first, and then we'll go through the cup. So if you are at your house there, if you would please, or wherever you're gathered with friends or however you're gathered there, your family, however that is, let's participate together. We're going to first take the bread. So if you would, pass out those elements and let's think together as Lynn plays this song. Meditate, examine yourself. And know that in Jesus Christ, there's full forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God bless you as you think your way through that. Father, thank you so much for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is one of us. And thank you so much for the new body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know there was a physical body. We know he had a natural body. We know that he now has that spiritual body. Same kind of body we're going to have someday. Thank you, Father, for the natural body that we're living in now. Thank you for its fragility. Thank you for its resilience. Thank you for its strength. Thank you for its weakness. We recognize that we can thank you for all of that. Now we give you praise for this that speaks of his righteousness, of his life, his humanity, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remember together. Now as you have the opportunity now to remembering the Lord Jesus Christ and all that his body is and all that that means to us, let's pass out the cup to your family. As you pass it out, we'll listen to a song again and allow our opportunity for us to think our way through, meditate on what Jesus has said. Sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Let's remember now the Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood was the life of his flesh. Thank you, Father, for this which speaks of the blood shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize that it is the life of his flesh, and we want to share in his life with us. So, Father, we share in this too. We share in his death. We share in his resurrection. We share in what is coming to him, for we know he will inherit the heavens and the earth, and we shall be joint heirs with him. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you that the sufferings of this age are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We'll thank you all of that, for Jesus is our glory. We'll thank you again for this precious blood in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's participate together. God bless you in this day. May the Lord watch over you and bless you and give you his strength, give you his peace, give you his grace. And may God continue to watch over you and make you a sweet and precious child of God as a testimony to the rest of the world. Regardless what goes on, brothers and sisters, we are still children of God, and we must find a place to plug in to wherever the need is that could best reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Let's ask him, what can we do? Where can we meet a need? Let's pray for those who are in authority. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to join me just now as we have a prayer for those who are in authority over us. Father, thank you that you have given us brand new life. Thank you so much that in that brand new life, we have opportunity to make intercession, Jesus, just as Jesus intercedes for us. So we ask this now in the name of Jesus that you give to our governor much wisdom and discernment, that he might be able to hear what's going on, what wise counsel really is, that he might be able to know and do those things that are pleasing in your sight. We recognize, Father, that you have him as a servant. We recognize that he is your servant and he is doing what you are calling on him to do. Help him not rebel, but indeed look for what is safest and best for all people. And again, we'll thank you for what you're going to do for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. God bless you. We will look to see you again soon in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen.
We hope God has encouraged you with today's message by Pastor White. Thank you for joining us at the Edgemont Bible Church. We'd love to have you visit us if you're ever in the area. For directions, more information, or to support the ministry of Edgemont Bible Church, please go to our website at edgemontbiblechurch.org. That's Edgemont Bible Church, all one word, .org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Edgemont Bible Church, where the Sunday morning message is broadcast live.